Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Karama Shelter was inaugurated on the 12th of September 2015 to shelter victims of human trafficking. Karama is the Arabic name for dignity.
Now we have a place for persons who became victims of human trafficking, where they can heal psychologically and physically. But unfortunately, there are shortcomings in the shelter system.
This is Ali Twaik in a new episode of Mal Amal podcast. In the past two seasons, we delved into the lives of migrant workers. They told us about their experiences in Jordan. We discussed the policies that regulate the labor market and their impact on those workers. In this season, we're going to talk more about Jordanian workers in the labor market, about their battles and daily struggles to enforce and protect their rights. In the last three episodes of our season, we decided to talk about a very important topic that might not have been addressed enough: human trafficking. We will tackle the issue of trafficking Jordanians or trafficking foreign workers on Jordan territory. According to the United Nations, human trafficking is the world's most widespread crime after drugs and armed trafficking. The International Criminal Police Organization, Interpol, states that the victims of these crimes are considered by their traffickers as mere commodities that can be used and even sold to achieve monetary gains with total disregard for human dignity and rights. Human trafficking, a cross-border trade, is the crime of exploiting women, children, and men for many purposes, including forced labor, sex work, or even organ trafficking. A lot of lives are lost every year in consequence of this trade. In early 2013, the Jordanian Anti-Human Trafficking Unit officially took up its work in Jordan. This unit is part of the Criminal Investigation Department of the Public Security Department and is specialized in receiving victims of human trafficking. The Anti-Trafficking Unit dealt with 307 cases in 2018, including 272 labor cases, 20 of which were referred to the public prosecutor. The Jordanian anti-human trafficking law stipulates that a shelter needs to be provided for persons who became victims of human trafficking. Hence, Karama Shelter provides the victims with legal and medical services as well as rehabilitation. This shelter, managed by the Ministry of Social Development, came after years of demands urging Jordan to fulfill its obligations as a signatory of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. Director of the Juvenile and Community Security Directorate, Mahmoud Al-Harout, at the Ministry of Social Development, told us about the structure and the establishment of Dar Karama.
The human trafficking law was adopted in 2009. A system was stemmed from this law to regulate the sheltering of victims and those affected by human trafficking crimes. Karama Shelter, Arabic for dignity, was established under the system and was inaugurated on December 9, 2015, to accommodate up to 35 persons who became victims of human trafficking. The building consists of three sections: one for females, one for males, and one for children. The shelter has partnered with the Public Security, Criminal Investigation Department, the Anti-Human Trafficking Unit, in addition to the Ministry of Health and civil society organizations to facilitate its work.
The Karama Shelter, which shelters persons who became victims of human trafficking, provides several services. The most important are
shelter and health services, including psychological. Legal services, as most cases are in need of legal follow-ups on their cases. We also provide economic empowerment through workshops in which the beneficiaries are trained on crafting. This can help them when being reintegrated in their communities.
Article 11 of the Regulation on Shelters for Human Trafficking stipulates that the shelter receives victims only if they give their consent. Additionally, the public prosecutor must have officially judged the person as a human trafficking victim. This article faces criticism by civil society institutions, and there are constant demands to receive victims of human trafficking based on preliminary indications, meaning before their case is recognized by the public prosecutor. Because in many cases, this period is long, and the victim needs a safe place even before the court case starts. In Article 12 of the same law, the regulation states that the period of accommodation in the shelter shall not exceed 2 months. Further durations to exceptional cases need to be granted permission by the Minister of Social Development. This article is in contradiction with the duration of court cases, some of which may well last longer than 2 months. Moreover, the victim needs time for physical and mental recovery, even after the case is closed. The director of Temkin Center for Legal Aid and Human Rights, Linda Kalash, talks about the challenges the center is facing while sheltering persons who became victims of human trafficking.
Now we have a place for persons who became victims of human trafficking, where they can heal psychologically and physically. But unfortunately, there are shortcomings in the shelter system. The maximum stay at the shelter is only 2 months. That's not enough, and there is the issue of who gets to refer the cases to the shelter. Only the public prosecutor can do that after recognizing the case as a case of human trafficking, in addition to the minister and any person he delegates. In case of human trafficking, it is an issue of safeguarding the victims, and there is a gap in the protection as we wait for the prosecutor's recognition of the case, and 2 months are not enough for rehabilitation or reintegration. I believe this is a deficit.
Civil society organizations recommend that the maximum length of stay be extended and evaluated on a case-by-case basis, depending on the victim's situation and their need for support and protection. Director of the Juveniles and Community Security Directorate, Mahmoud Al-Harout, told us about these cases and how they are recognized.
Thankfully, we don't have a serious human trafficking problem in Jordan. It is a temporary problem because throughout 5 to 6 years, we have received only 367 cases. Most of the cases that have been recognized as human trafficking cases in the first place turned out to be cases of labor violation instead of human trafficking.
Linda Kalash reminds us of the problematic aspects of legal recognition and the absence of specialized prosecution, a problem which trivializes human trafficking as a violation of labor law.
The recognition of cases is very important, and we demand specialized prosecution. The new draft law provides for this. There shall be one prosecutor or two who are specialized in trafficking cases. Currently, there is no prosecutor specializing in human trafficking. Legal recognition is highly problematic. Two similar cases could be interpreted differently and therefore decided differently in court.
What about the referral and reception mechanisms in the Karama shelter?
Cases are referred by the Anti-Human Trafficking Unit of the Public Security Department. These cases are referred to the shelter by the unit, a judicial officer, and partnering civil society organizations. But if a person approaches the shelter individually, he or she would be received and provided with a safe environment and necessary intermediations. Afterwards, the Anti-Human Trafficking Unit shall be contacted, so the shelter could directly receive cases and then refer them to the competent unit.
Nadia Shamrukh, the director of Jordanian Women's Union, spoke to us about a regional coalition that focuses on combating human trafficking, especially among women. This coalition operates in 4 Arab countries. It supports human trafficking victims and provides them with legal, psychological, and social support, even after they return to their home countries.
The Jordanian Women's Union leads a regional coalition consisting of Jordan, Lebanon, Egypt, and Morocco, which is working to combat human trafficking. We work with our partners on 4 components. First of all, we advocate for an amendment of the law in a way that guarantees a comprehensive definition of human trafficking, one that is compatible with the International Convention. We also work on raising the awareness of those women who return to their countries so that they don't get trafficked again. We work with them through our partners. This coalition strives to create programs that provide the victims with legal, psychological, and social support. We also provide a shelter for affected women. They can stay with us until they can go back to their countries.
The shelter of the Jordanian Women's Union is highly important because it is an independent, non-governmental service for persons who became victims of human trafficking, as well as for domestic workers who are in legal conflict with their employers. Besides Jordanian Women's Union, we have some organizations and legal aid centers in Jordan that provide this kind of support to human trafficking victims, such as Adala, the Arab Renaissance for Democracy and Development, ARDD, and Temkin Center for Legal Aid and Human Rights. Linda Kalash from Temkin Center explained to us the individual steps from the arrival of a victim at the shelter to the beginning of the court case.
As a center that is concerned with workers, especially human trafficking victims, we receive labor cases and we check if there is any evidence of a human trafficking case. Then we contact the anti-human trafficking unit to report the indications we have found and observed. Should there be an investigation, the case will be referred to the public prosecutor. In some cases, we would take them directly to the public prosecutor to file a complaint. We receive cases by email, phone, or sometimes it is families of the workers themselves or organizations from the workers' home countries who report cases. In this case, we directly inform the unit giving that we are not authorized to access a household or a workplace. The unit contacts the employer and we follow up afterwards.
In former episodes, we got to meet Timanti, a worker from Sri Lanka who worked in Jordan without pay.
I am Timanti. I'm from Sri Lanka. I came to Jordan 15 years ago. I worked every day. I did everything, but my employer never gave me my money. I worked 5 years, then 10 years, and he did not give me anything, not even a half GD. Every day, he would say, "I will pay you tomorrow," and it went on like this.
After 15 years of being away from her country and her daughter who was 2 years old when she left, Timanti decided that enough is enough.
I am tired. I don't want to work anymore. So I am thinking about traveling. 15 years are enough. I want to go home to Sri Lanka. I am tired. My arm hurts. My tummy hurts. I am all tired. I want to travel.
Timanti contacted her country's embassy in Amman. They forwarded her complaint to Temkin Center for Legal Aid and Human Rights, and they notified the Anti-Human Trafficking Unit. Advocate Esma Umera from Temkin told us more details.
The unit contacted the employer, and he said that he didn't pay her the salaries because he has an investment in a piece of land in Amman and that he's planning to sell it when she travels in order to pay her. Now, we are waiting to see if he's going to give her what he owes her.
According to international standards, Timanti is a human trafficking victim. She was obliged to work without pay, her passport was confiscated, and she was not allowed to take vacation during all those years. Her employer recognized her rights and signed a pledge promising to pay the full amount and the fines for not renewing her residency permit. But up till the moment of saying these words, she is still waiting for her payment. In Jordan, she wasn't recognized as a human trafficking victim, and so she couldn't stay in Karama shelter because the regulations didn't apply to her. She spent a long time in the shelter of the Jordanian Women's Union. Then, when the coronavirus pandemic hit, she was moved to a shelter provided by the Embassy of Sri Lanka in Amman, since the Jordanian government had called on evacuating shelters to avoid contagion. On an official level, combating human trafficking is a responsibility shouldered by governmental entities, including the Ministry of Labor, which has inspection teams consisting of almost 150 inspectors, who cover all sectors with Jordanian and foreign workers. Civil society organizations consider these inspection teams to be insufficient to combat human trafficking and, most importantly, child labor. In December 2019, the government referred a bill amending the anti-human trafficking law to the House of Representatives. This law aggravates the penalty with imprisonment or a fine for anyone who is proven to have committed the crime of human trafficking, with temporary community labor and a fine of no less than 3,000 JDs and not more than 20,000 JDs. The law also explicitly stipulates that a specialized prosecutor must be trained to investigate and try human trafficking cases. In the draft law, the government included begging as a form of human trafficking. This applies if groups or children are exploited to beg. However, so far this draft law has not been approved by the House of Representatives after it was referred to the House's Legal Committee December 2019. Even child marriage could be a form of human trafficking, as we mentioned in the last episode, and this type of cases is being followed up and uncovered by the Department of Family Protection of the General Security Department. Directly, the Anti-Human Trafficking Unit of the Public Security Directorate is following up on cases of human trafficking in Jordan, and through them, any person can file a complaint if they suspect that they themselves or someone else is exposed to human trafficking. The International Protocol to Prevent, Suppress, and Punish Trafficking in Persons guarantees the protection of witnesses when reporting cases of human trafficking. In the last three episodes, we have tried to define human trafficking crimes as a legal concept and realize it as a crime that occurs daily in our societies. We reviewed the local laws and international conventions that govern this crime. We have talked about and with persons who became victims of human trafficking and how we as people can turn into a mere commodity due to people who are capable of exploiting anything and anyone for a profit. This episode was prepared and written by Anas Demra, presented to you by myself, Ali Tuwaiq, edited by Yaqub Abu Ghosh, and sound produced by Taysir Qabani. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter to listen to the rest of Mal Amal program, produced by Sawt. This episode is supported by the Henrik Ball Foundation, Palestine and Jordan Office. All opinions expressed are the responsibility of the author and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Henrik Ball Foundation.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.